to SER Breakfast.
Now, the TEDx series of conferences are quite rightly really, really very famous, with the independent TED-like events attracting crowds across, well, apparently 133 different countries. But TEDx Sydney is what we want to talk about, and it's on its way back for a seventh year, moving out of the Opera House and into a brand new venue. Fenella Kernebohm is the head of curation and, of course, a former 2SER Breakfast host, in addition to many, many other roles. I'm sure that wasn't the pinnacle of them. But
Actually, no, 2SER was actually the pinnacle. The only reason I ended up doing anything in the media, you know, a long career in radio and TV, was because of 2SER. So thumbs up. This place is awesome. Although I must admit, it was up a very tall tower building at UTS back in the tower days. Yes, back in the days.
Well, let's talk TEDx Sydney. I'm kind of curious. It's amazing to me just how popular the whole kind of TEDx thing has become. What do you think the winning formula is for those talks?
There is no winning formula, I hate to say, but I do think that there are different ways that people approach their talk. But I think for me, it's this desire to understand the world around us and this conference that has been going on since the 80s. Richard Saul Wurman started it originally, and Chris Anderson's now the head curator for all of the TED conferences. They've managed to create something that speaks to a lot of different people because we want to learn. So we have this thirst for knowledge, and, you know, we all talk about, you know, how there's the ideas festivals are the things that us adults want to go to. So TED Talks are a little bit like that. And the fact that it was, when Chris Anderson took over, put them all online and made them freely available so that you could watch them on YouTube or listen to a podcast if it's the TED Talks, then suddenly this thirst for knowledge and obviously this desire to go, well, not only knowledge, but how can we potentially change the world that we live in? That, I think, is kind of this beautiful democracy where we actually feel like we're involved. So TED Talks are gorgeous because you get to hear from all kinds of people. You know how you go to a conference, right? And then there's the futurist, and then there's the person who's officially allowed to talk about this topic. TED Talks, and in particular, I think TEDx Talks, and TEDx means it's independently organised events. So you can have an TEDx, whether you're in a chicken coop in Bolivia, or, of course, as TEDx Sydney's been doing for the last few years at Carriage Works, the Opera House, and now at our new venue. You can have them anywhere, and that's kind of the beauty of it, that you get to speak to or hear from not only experts, known people, I suppose, or the unknown. And you can have all kinds of speakers up on that stage speaking to their truth or telling you their most amazing things that they happen to be doing that are changing their part of the world and potentially yours too. So that's kind of why I'm a devotee of this stuff. I think it's really fantastic. Well, it's the mantra is ideas worth spreading, you know, and that's all around the world. And these are oftentimes very popular talks. And so that means you get to speak to people you may not necessarily get to hear before. I mean, look at your Facebook algorithm. You're only going to get a certain number of stuff that Facebook deems that that is acceptable for you to read, whereas you can go and search and find the stuff that you're interested in. And that's the beauty of it, whether it's sustainability or the environment or politics or, current affairs, you name it, anything. So that's kind of why it's, I think, very useful and really important.
Well, let's talk new venue, because you're moving out of the Opera House.
It's been
a couple of years there, and into the
New one around the corner, just across the ditch over the road there, Nick. It's the ICC Sydney, or the International Convention Centre Sydney, and it's huge.
It's massive. So, I mean, have you had to change the way you're scheduling to kind of fit in there?
No, there's no difference. So we're doing four sessions as always. So there's like two morning sessions, two afternoon sessions, nice big long lunch break where you get to go and, enjoy the food experience. And we're building this extraordinary kind of a hall where you get, where all these thousands of people can kind of hang out in a non-conferency way, if that makes sense.
Yes,
that's the whole goal. Like, it's about the community. It's about the tribe of us mates essentially getting together. We're not changing the scheduling specifically because it's still four sessions and the experience is still very much the same. And in fact, I must admit, it's a really awesome space to be in. I was a bit, skeptical.
It's amazing, isn't it?
At first, but it's I want to swear, but I better not, it's before breakfast.
It is breakfast. Yeah.
But no, it's really, really good. So you're in that room and I was like, oh my God, it's going to be really big. It's going to feel like it's terrifying and too gargantuan, but it's nice and intimate and it's a lovely room and the design is pretty sexy too. So I'm good with it. I'm great.
I'm glad.
Me too.
Look, let's talk about a couple of the speakers you've got, because I'm barely scratching the surface here, but I noted down a few.
Go on, scratch the surface, Nick.
Jordan Raskopoulos, Uncle Jack Charles, Peter Grest, and Jane Gilmore. I mean, this is such a massive subsection. Like, broad section,
humanity. This is, as I was saying before, that's kind of the beauty of what I, why I like these talks, is because you can have the knowns, Uncle Jack Charles, Jordan Raskopoulos, of course, being a member of the Axis of Awesome and a comedian and very, very experienced standing on stage. Jane Gilmore is, you have heard of her, she's a feminist and a journalist, and she has been very, very good at kind of addressing men's violence against women and the journalists and the sub-editors who put the blame on women oftentimes. Yeah. So very clever. So she's on that stage as well. So, you know, Peter Grest, of course, very experienced as a speaker. But if you think, what's his Twitter handle again? Recovering foreign correspondent, spent 400 days in an Egyptian jail. and, of course, living here in Australia and, you know, at the moment doing documentaries for the ABC. So he's an extraordinary speaker, and he has a great story to tell. So there's like a real, one of my favourite speakers, actually, if I may.
Please.
Is someone that's never, doesn't even have a Facebook, who doesn't have social media these days? What's wrong with these
humans?
So
they're technically invisible, right?
He's invisible. He lives in Onaraya, and David Power is his name, and he works in the fisheries over there, and he works with local communities on actually managing and sustainability, essentially. So he's going to be getting on this stage. I don't think he's ever done this before either, and this is why I love it. They go, wow, what's this guy doing? This is extraordinary. He's going to talk about sustainability and fishing in the Pacific. And I can't give away what he's going to say.
No, please.
Because that's the beauty of it as well, is that it's all a bit to be a surprise. But I'm very much looking forward to what David Power has to say too.
And a few performers as well. Again, I just noted down a couple that we love here at 2SER. Stu Hunter, Elfresh the Lion, who I absolutely adore, and Nairi.
Nairi is on our stage. Yeah, she's amazing. She's amazing. She's performing one of Australia's most kind of fearless performers, from PNG, of course, and yeah, beautiful, colourful, fun. So many other performers include Cash Savage and The Last Drinks. She's like a whiskey-soaked, kind of bourbon-soaked rock and roll.
She really is.
Garawa, who is an Arnhem Land, he sings in language, the most beautiful voice, and I have a feeling, oh no, I can't say, oh, could I give you a sneak preview?
Go on.
No, I'm not going to give it away. He'll be... I think I saw him at the Sydney Festival earlier in the year and just was blown away, was laughing and then crying at the same time. Because his voice is just so gorgeous, and he's very, very funny. So Garawa is joining us too.
All right. Now, it all kicks off on the 17th, am
16th.
I right? 16th.
It's next Friday.
Oh,
Friday week.
Lordy, you must be so busy.
Yeah. Well, this is the home stretch. This is the home stretch. My job now is to give the speakers a cuddle, really. And actually, in turn, I think they give me a cuddle. So it's about obviously helping people in their final preparation. So there's lots of kind of last minute rehearsals. We've had sort of scheduled rehearsals, and now it's I just get my speakers because there's about five curators. They're all extraordinary, all volunteering their time. We all work with a number of speakers each, and at this point, all of my curators are getting their speakers on the phone or on Skype or on FaceTime and rehearsing as much as possible and helping people get prepared.
It sounds amazing. We're going to make sure there's a link up for people who want more info on the 2SER.com site. But where can they go website wise?
It is at tedxsydney.com, and there are some registrations. So get on.
Get on.
You've got to make a profile and become and join us. We want to see you there. Come and buy me a beer afterwards.
Okay, it's done. Penelope Kinnebone, thank you very much.
Thanks, Nick.